Please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we will read verses 1 to 20. The classic account that Luke gives to us of Jesus born in Bethlehem. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So much to treasure. Over the past several weeks, we have been making our way slowly through the beautiful accounts of Luke, taking us to Zacharias, taking us to Elizabeth and to Mary, and then re-enter Zacharias, and now we come to Bethlehem itself. The Bible tells us that those things which are a treasure to us, those things which are in our heart, that our heart will focus upon those things which are of greatest value. Mary, we do not recall her as a wealthy woman. Of course, Matthew tells us about the Magi who came with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, three articles of great value. Undoubtedly, as Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus had to flee into Egypt, that most of those resources were spent as they made their way down to Egypt to dwell for a time. But as they returned, they once again were as they had been before. They were not wealthy people. They were very common, very ordinary. Joseph returned to his trade as a carpenter and worked with his hands. But Mary had some treasure that was in her heart, and she pondered upon these things even at Bethlehem, so in the days that followed. I would want you to ponder with me and ponder with Mary that there was so much to fill her heart. Of course, Mary could think back to the arrival of Gabriel, so unexpected, unannounced, there to stand before her, and as she trembled to hear the words, "Fear not, Mary, you have found favor." She had it in her heart that God had favored her. God had shown his kindness to her. How we think in Bethlehem and how we think at Christmas time of how that God has shown favor to each and every one of us, how that his kindness has been rained down upon us. Well, Mary had this to treasure in her heart, the angelic visit that came to her, and the words that God had not only shown his favor to her in her youth, but that God had shown his favor also to her elderly relative, Elizabeth, and that she would also bear a child. She, who had been called barren, would hold a son of her own, and not just any child, but the one who would be the forerunner. So Mary could think back, and she could not only think back to her own experience of how that God had shown his favor, God had shown his kindness, God had selected her out of the tens and thousands of women who would dearly have loved to have bring Messiah into the world. But Mary could think back so much farther before that. She could think back and consider how that God was a covenant-keeping, faithful God, how that those things which he had promised hundreds and even thousands of years before were not forgotten by him, but that they were held in tight memory. Mary could treasure these things. She could hold on to them. She could ponder them. She could delight in them. But here now, she holds Jesus in her arms. It isn't just a sound in her ear, the sound of Gabriel's voice. It isn't just a text which was written in, or read in the synagogue, but here it is, Messiah. It isn't just a hope that had become more and more precious even with the passing of years. It was real. It was there. It was right before her. In the days of Caesar Augustus, we are told we have a specific time. We have a specific situation that is also surrounding. Mary and Joseph could have grumbled at the annoying powers that ruled over them. They could have been upset, but they make their way to participate in the census, in the taxation that went along with it, carrying what they needed to satisfy the Roman overlords. But we have it here that Mary came, and verse 6, we wonder at such simplicity that Dr. Luke gives us what took place there. Luke, the physician, he says, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger. That's it, Luke? That's all you have to tell us? I was present for the birth of all three of our daughters, one in Peterborough, one at the Grace Hospital, and one at the Misericordia Hospital. And it's amazing how that there isn't a sound of trumpets or a band playing when a baby is born. It just sort of happens. Now, of course, there's the 9 months where your wife is getting larger and larger and you need to be more and more careful round about her. But then there is, of course, the labor pains, and those might go long or short. While we were awaiting Rachel, I dropped Charlene off at the hospital, and they said, yeah, today is the day, but it may or may not be right away, and so why don't you go and have breakfast? Well, while Charlene was going through the labor pains, there was another woman who came in and screamed her lungs out and had her baby, and all of a sudden, and Charlene was left there to continue with her labor pains, and when I came back, I could tell that the pains were very incredible. Well, finally, we were ushered into the place where the delivery would take place, and What should I or should I not say? It happened. When the final birth took place, you know, it was just an instant. It was just an instant, so quick that the doctor almost dropped Rachel on the floor. She emerged ever so quickly in that moment. 9 months and then hours of labor pain, but she was within Rachel or Charlene's womb, and then all of a sudden, she's in the doctor's hands, having grabbed her just ever so quickly. Well, here in Bethlehem, the time was complete. The 9 months, whatever labor, we don't know whether it was long or short, whatever days, hours led up to that, Jesus comes. Jesus is suddenly born. And Mary, she takes the child and she wraps him in these cloths, and there is no fancy bassinet, there was no fancy place, crib to lay him. And she lays him there, wrapped in those cloths in the manger. Not even room for them in the comfort of the inn, such as it was 2,000 years ago. They were in the cattle stall. They were in the manger. They were in the shed behind that was reserved for the animals. Well, all of a sudden, our attention is switched away from what's taking place, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, that tender moment, and all that had happened so quickly, the pain and the distress and the mess. And suddenly we're taken outside of Bethlehem, and we're round about Bethlehem, not far away. These shepherds, they didn't have a scooter or a bike that they could jump on and scoot into Bethlehem. They needed to walk, and so not far. But there were those shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Shepherds which were raising animals, which were raising sheep, to specifically be the sacrifice in the temple. Oh, they knew what sin cost. And here they were taking care of these animals that would be a substitute for the sin of others. And here the announcement comes to them. An angel suddenly stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The darkness of the night is pierced with blazing light. So we have the angel who came to Zacharias, and we have the angel that came to Mary. And here once again, this is God's doing, we're underscoring here. Do not be afraid, once again the word is said. Behold, good news, great joy for all the people. Today, in the city of David, born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord. You will find him in this way, lying in a manger, wrapped in cloths, and the sky is ablaze with the songs of praises to God. Glory to God in the highest. And as a result of what God has done, peace can come to earth among whom he is pleased. Well, the shepherds, rattled as though they might be, yet they have the wits to say to one another, "Let's go! Let's go and see exactly what the Lord has made known to us." They didn't think that this was a collective delusion. They realized that the Lord was up to something. They wanted to be in on it. They come hurrying to Mary and Joseph and the baby, and they made known all that they had seen. Well, this just added to Mary's treasure in her heart. They come and they explain to Mary and Joseph. Perhaps there were some other ears. Perhaps they come to the inn, and they ask, "Where's the child?" And they say, "Well, he's in back." And maybe it spills out of them even then about how that they had seen angels, how that the sky was ablaze with light. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary realizes once again that the God who had sent his angel 9 months before is still the God who is watching over them both. We don't have any indication that during those 9 months that Mary had a periodic visit from an angel or some revelation given to her. She simply had something to hold on to. That's a good word for each of us. God has given us his word. And whether we have blazing lights in the sky and warm, fuzzy revelations deep in our heart, we have God's word to hold on to. Mary didn't have, we suspect, anything else except what the angel had said to her and what Elizabeth also was sharing with her of the great things that God was doing. She had the child growing within her womb. She, of course, had the suspicion of others round about her, but she held fast. She held fast, and here once again as a confirmation that God was working things out, that God was at his plan and bringing Messiah into the world. Here comes the shepherds to encourage Mary, to bless her heart, to add to the treasure, and to see the child. Well, the shepherds, they didn't park themselves there. They had other things to do. But they go back, and they are shouting and they are glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. From our vantage point, we can do nothing except through the eyes of faith see and hear what God has done. Will you praise him? Will you honor him? Will you treasure in your heart also during this Christmas season what God has done? How that he has not forgotten about us, but how that he has tenderly come and how that he has brought salvation for you and for me. Will you make this a very personal time? Christmas is a wonderful time for gathering together with others and for singing carols together and for reading scripture together, for going to church together. But we need to come back once again and realize that there is a personal response that needs to be made here. There is something where Jesus comes to each and every one of us and looks us right in the face and say, "What about you?" Jesus came to Mary and to Martha when on the death of Lazarus, and he asks, "Do you believe this? Do you believe that I am the resurrection and the life?" Not just what others believe, but what you believe and what you have laid hold on. Is this your treasure as well? When you go from service, when you go from reading portions such as this, do you go away glorifying and praising God for what he has shown you, for what he has revealed to you? Or do you shrug and say, "I've heard that before. What does the paper have to say? What does the media have to say? I'm interested in something interesting, something exciting, something big." There's nothing bigger. There's nothing more exciting than what is happening right here in Jesus coming to dwell among us, to be our Savior. Will you receive him into your heart? Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, Mary had much to treasure so long ago, and we would want to treasure, and we would want to wonder along with her at all that you have done. Lord, so come among us. Speak to our hearts. And though we may have heard the story, and though we may have told the story, may there be a freshness, may there be a wonder once again. May we understand who it was who was born there that night so long ago. May we understand who it was that the shepherds came to see. May we understand who it was that the angels filled the sky and sang your praises. May we understand who it was who left heaven to become a man, who gave up so much glory that we might know the glory of God. Lord, I pray that there would be men and women here today who would say, Lord Jesus, come to my heart, I pray. Sinner though I am, wretched, vile, defiled, come to my heart and cleanse me, I pray. Make me clean. Make me ready for heaven. So, Lord, may this be such a radically different Christmas for each and every one. And may your blessing come. Even as we exalt your name, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.